and we would love for you to participate in this program. The reason why we're starting early is we'd like to have everything collected by August 4th. That will give us the opportunity to get those things to the school. Those teachers, I'm telling you, will be thrilled. And not only will they be thrilled, but the students will be thrilled to have them. This gives the teachers an opportunity to get their classrooms set up, find out what they have and what they need and how they can get this program started for these children in our community from day one, so that they have a great experience in their new school year. So I know that Village is a very generous church, and I'm just so thankful for all of you for praying about this and thinking about what you can do to enhance the lives of these children in our community over the summer. So again, if you have any questions, please feel free to see me or any of the members of the Missions Commission. Thanks.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right, this is the day the Lord has made.
Well, good morning, Village. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome. Welcome to our worship. We're going to be thinking about the Gospel of John today, chapter 15, thinking about Jesus as the vine and all of us as the branches. And so we're glad that you're here to share in our worship this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer and share some of our blessings and concerns. Those who are watching on the internet, watching virtually, are going to be muted. for reasons of privacy, but we will bring you right back in when we begin to pray together. So, what is on your hearts this morning, Village? Thank you. Well, let's turn to the Lord in prayer, shall we? God, as a branch withers and dies apart from the vine, so we wither and die apart from your presence. Thankful that we can be together here this morning, that we can share our concerns and our joys and our blessings. We're thankful that we can be a part of a community of faith that weeps for those who weep and rejoices with those who rejoice. God, we remember those weighed down today with the needs of heart and soul, those who hurt, those who are lonely, so many who are oppressed, who are poor, and who are sick. We pray that our lives rooted in your life will bear the fruits of comfort, companionship, and freedom, and generosity, and grace. We pray for those suffering the after effects of those devastating tornadoes, that you would, through your people, bring comfort and aid. We continue to pray for nations at odds with one another, in the midst of struggle and conflict. There is unrest in our colleges and our universities. We pray for resolution and for peace. God, as we abide in Christ, lead us to bear the fruit of justice. Give us courage to speak and act for those who suffer injustice. Keep us strong in grace. Help us to love as Christ loves. We give thanks that with you there is always a new beginning, new possibilities, a way where there is no way. Hope beyond hope, even life beyond death. Hear the prayers of every heart today. We offer them in the name and spirit of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
everyone. It's time for the children's story. It's time for the children's story. Good, you guys look all happy and cheery. It's a great day today, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to love it. Oh, I'm waiting for spring. But I wanted to talk to you about prayer. When do you pray? Yeah. Okay. He prays before he eats. So do I. Anybody else want to share when they pray? At bedtime, on the school bus, before a test, before your mother finds out that you've done something you shouldn't do. You know, oh, Dad told me not to do that. Oh, Lord, please help me. No, you never have those occasions. Yes. What's that? You said, what? Shall I repeat that out loud for everybody? He says, not my words, when my parents get me in trouble and I pray, oh, Lord, help me. Did I get it right? Yes. Oh, you pray before your football game. Would you like to share what it is you pray about before your football game? I'm going to let him, let's see. What might you pray about, just if you want to share? Okay, that's fine. Because, you know, prayer is very personal. That leads very well into prayer is very personal. You don't have to share with anybody what you pray about, because that is between you and God. You guys got it. Now we get together in church. I'm sorry, you want to share? You pray about your baseball game? Oh, that you want to win. Ah. That's natural. You know, we all want success. We all want... It's okay. It's okay.
That I don't get hurt.
Oh, amen to that. Don't get hurt.
Because one time he pulled off his flag and then got
back into the Whoa. That's a little much for me to repeat. Okay. 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 All right. So there we go. I tell you what, brotherly love is showing all over here. So he won't say any more. He won't say any more. But I tell you what we're going to do, turn your attention back to me. You notice in church we often pray, we have open prayer where people will share prayers about things that they're concerned about. Sometimes you may hear somebody say, I have an unspoken prayer, because they don't want to necessarily say the details of that prayer, but there's something that in their heart, and God knows what that is. And sometimes I hear you guys offer up a prayer, and I'm like, these children are listening. They are listening, and they are asking for prayer. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to write. Oops. This is our prayer list board. Oh, and the other thing you can do is you can do a praise report. Thank God for something. So since my friend, I haven't seen you in a while, I'm going to use your help. Can you hold that for me? Can you stand up here? Okay. And if each of you wouldn't mind giving me something you would like to pray about. You can say unspoken prayer. You can say prayer about a baseball game, that you don't want to get hurt, that you got something exciting you want to share. And I'll write it up, and we'll put it on our prayer request. Who wants to go first? He's praying for food. Can I put your name up here? Okay. You want to stick that on the board? Okay, what about you?
People that are homeless.
Okay. Pay attention to me. You can put that on the board. Kyle, who would you like to pray for? You want me to come back to you?
My mom
He's praying that his mom and dad will let him get ice cream from the
ice cream truck. Never from the ice cream truck, because you want to save a little bit of bucks.
Okay. And for Avery. Ooh, that you do well in gymnastics? That you don't get hurt. Don't get hurt in gymnastics. I know, I would pray for you too, because I don't want you to be, sorry, you get to put that on the board. And Faith, you want to add one? I'll put yours. Okay, pray. She doesn't have one she wants to say, but that's okay. But what you can all do is we can pray together for these prayers that you have provided. Okay? And remember, God, that prayer is between you and God or whoever you want to share it with. So let's pray for some of these things that we have up here and then go back. Then you get to listen to special music and then you go back to children's church. Bow our heads. Dear God, we come to you at a time when we want to hear, have your ear, have you listen to our concerns. These children have prayed about food. They prayed about being able to purchase ice cream. They prayed about not getting hurt. They prayed about doing well in school. They prayed about people who are homeless. And God, just keep them in your care. Teach them the power of prayer. And teach them that they can share their prayers with others as well as you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay.
I want Jesus.
I want Jesus.
Today is from John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. May God add his blessing to this, his holy word.
Let's pray together. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer, the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Amen. After I retired, I took about a year to scan all of the sermons that I had written over 35 years, about 1,300 sermons. And as it turns out, I hardly ever refer to those sermons that I spent a year scanning into the computer. But I did this week because I had this feeling as I looked at the text that I had never preached on this text before. That's hard to believe for me, and yet when I looked at the scanned documents, I couldn't find one instance where I had preached on this text. So, how in the world did that happen? And it occurs to me that if you're going to preach effectively on this text anyway, it would be good to have some kind of knowledge base about vineyards, which I don't. Or maybe know someone who works at a vineyard, or maybe somebody who drinks wine even. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Now, when he was talking about vines and branches, he was speaking to people who were well acquainted with vines and the production of wine. So he's meeting them on their own terms. In Jesus' day, archaeologists have discovered wine presses all over the place. According to one commentator, it was as if every little neighborhood and community had their own wine press. So Jesus was talking to people who had pruned vines and pressed grapes, and he was inviting them, and he's inviting us to reflect on the experience when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, what a wonderful gift wine is, or so I have been told. But it's also the cause of much trouble, which is probably why we use grape juice rather than wine in communion. When I was in seminary, it's funny the thoughts that come to you. When I was in seminary, some students staged a stand-up protest. And what they were protesting was the use of wine when we shared the Lord's Supper together. After all, there could be some recovering alcoholics in the student population. Who knows? And so they stood up during communion to quietly disrupt our worship, and they succeeded. You may recall the story of a man who went to his pastor and asked, Pastor, can Baptists drink? And the pastor said, well, the answer to that question is the same as the answer to the question, can Baptists dance? And the answer is, some can and some can't. One day, Jesus gathered his followers around him, and he began to teach them the words in our text today. God's kingdom, God's beloved community, is like a vine planted with love by God, who is the vine grower. That vine is a sign of God's kingdom, pointing to the restoration and the renewal of all creation. That vine is Jesus, the first fruit of a renewed creation. Jesus is the sign and the source of life. And Jesus invites those who would follow him, those who would be his disciples, to consider these words, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. There's an invitation there to depend on Christ for life and grace. We're not very good about dependency. We would much rather do things for ourselves. Thank you very much. And in our country, we pride ourselves on our independence. But hear these words reminding us about our need to depend on God, and in truth, to depend on one another, our need to be connected. A Christian can't be the lone branch on the vine. The vine produces many branches, and they have to intertwine and support one another if there is going to be fruit that is produced. And we are to abide in the vine because that's our source of nourishment. That's our source of nutrients. That's our comfort, our strength, our enthusiasm, our fruitfulness. So as long as we remain connected to the vine, presumably by listening to God's word, being constant in prayer, being filled with the Spirit, trusting in God's love, and so long as we understand our interdependence, we can grow and thrive and bear much fruit. Now, there are words here that trouble many people. There is mention here in this passage about how every branch in us that bears no fruit will be pruned or removed. And that's a tough thought, challenging thought. And yet I have known preachers who have made it even tougher, saying that God prunes us so as to make us better, healthier. God gives us cancer. God causes an accident. God makes it so we get fired from our job. That God does all this to prune us, to make us better, to help us grow. And that's a lie. God does not bring suffering or pruning like this upon us. God does not go around parceling out cancer or giving us more than we can bear. But still, if we don't bear fruit, if there are no results from our discipleship, there is a cost. The person who says, I don't go to church, but I'm very spiritual, is probably just deceiving themselves. because it's very difficult to abide in Christ without being with Christ and being with Christ's people and working with Christ and serving Christ and bearing fruit together. Sometimes I think we abide in things that don't ultimately bear much fruit. You know the kind of things I mean, money and power and wealth and gadgets. And I wonder, to whom are we rooted? What do we value? What do we spend most of our time doing? Do we devote our attention and time and energy to things that bear fruit? To whom or to what have we given our hearts? What parts of us, what parts of our church may need to be pruned so that there is room for something new to take their place? R. Carl Frazier has written that the church that seeks to exist apart from Christ may find itself without a voice, without a message, and without power. It will be barren, little more than an adornment, eventually to be cast aside and abandoned apart from Christ. I attended a conference on Lake George in New York State in 1997. It was led by Bill Easom, who's a church growth guru. And he said at that conference, and I've never forgotten, he said that in 25 years, 75% of our churches will be dead or dying or plateaued. And I often marvel and how accurate his prophecy has been. We abide in Christ when we stay connected to Christ, when we stick together in the community of faith, and as we bear fruit together, as we focus on fruitfulness and on graceful loving service. I think perhaps my favorite quote from Martin Luther King is this: anyone, anybody can be great because anybody can serve. We don't have to have a college degree to serve. We don't have to make our subject and verb agree to serve. We only need to have a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. One hot August morning, Terry and I were on vacation and we dragged ourselves out of bed to go to church. Very quaint New England church. And there were five of us there. But the pastor preached one of those hell, fire, and damnation sermons. He persisted in preaching, get saved, get saved, get saved. And I wanted to preach right back, I am, now tell me what to do. There is work to be done and fruit to bear for the Lord. And that's what it's all about, ultimately, isn't it? At the end of the day, God wants us to be fruitful. And what specifically is the fruit we are to bear for Christ? The Apostle Paul puts it well in Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, humility, and self-control. That is God's will for those who would bear fruit. That is God's will for us as individuals and for us as church. That kind of fruit bearing I am here to tell you, will keep you busy for the rest of your lives. And if we bear fruit in those ways for the rest of our lives, we would have love and we would have joy and we would together change at least our part of the world. We would hear God's calling and we would follow and serve in the world, and the world could change and even more people could come to understand that Jesus is the true vine and we are his branches. Abiding in Christ. One more thought that comes to me. This week in my reading, I came across an author, Gisela Kreglinger, who wrote this: when a vine lacks water and is under stress, it is forced to develop deeper roots. And the deeper the roots and the more those roots intertwine, the wine that is produced is more valuable and richer as a result. Church, God asks us to put down deep roots, especially in this time of transition, which can be stressful, to put down deep roots. Sometimes we don't want to do that. So often we settle for shallow roots, a kind of superficial faith where, you know, I know three things about God and that's good enough for me. God wants us to put down deep roots in our life of faith. And most often we ignore that. And I don't know why, except I have a suspicion. I suspect that we're afraid that if we go really deep with God, we would have to change a lot of the things we do. Maybe the way we live. That's what we're called to do, abide in Christ to the glory of God. Amen. Will you bow with me in prayer? God, may what we have seen and heard here this morning lead us to actions of faith that will bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and humility and gentleness and self-control. We, your branches, commit to the true vine of Christ. And we long to be faithful and fruitful in Christ-like ministry. So may it be. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. This is my Father's world. Won't you stand and sing? Thank you. you bow for the benediction? Now, brothers and sisters, may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm, and may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Amen. Thank you.